opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Brock. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Brophanser, and...
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's
and
Rick.
This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And once again, this week, I have two of the most interesting people. You're really going to like this show, I think. Plus, I have some other cool stuff to talk about. My first guest this week is Bill DeReamer, and I've known Bill a long time. He's a helicopter pilot, and that is interesting in and of itself. But Bill is also involved in what's called a FluTog, an event coming up August 27th at the Waterfront Park. And wait till you hear what Bill has to say about that, and wait till you hear about this event. You may have seen billboards around town. They're starting to do TV commercials. This is a project sponsored by Red Bull, and I just really called Bill up because I saw on Facebook that he was involved in it, and it was it's a very interesting story. It's going to be quite a spectacle on August 27th when that event comes up, as you'll hear when you listen to my interview with Bill DeReamer. In the second part of the show, I've got Nathan Keepers, who is among my, as you know, I like hanging out and going to events with Actors Theater, and the new season is here. And on August 30th, the premiere of 39 Steps is coming up, and from what I hear from Nathan and from others, that's going to be a heck of a show in the Pamela Brown Auditorium. It begins August 30th. We're going to talk about the practice, how practice is going, and Nathan's first, it's his directorial debut here in Louisville, so I think you'll be interested in hearing what he has to say about that, and looking forward to the production of 39 Steps at Actors Theater. This show, as you know, is sponsored by my friends at Passport Health Plan, which you'll hear their spots in the show, and by Eye Care Institute down there on Story Avenue. The phone number is 589-1500. That's 502-589-1500. If you have any issues with your eyes or just need a regular checkup, vision is very important, of course, and anything you have going on with your eyes, they've got the experts. They've got the best doctors. They've got a great appointment set up. So give them a call at 502-589-1500 at the Eye Care Institute. All right, rather than go on into any of the other topics I'm ready to talk about, I do have some stuff to talk about after the DeReamer interview, but I think you'll be interested in hearing about this fantastic event coming for the first time to Waterfront Park on August 27th. Listen in as I talk about it with Bill DeReamer.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Today in the Louisville AM studios, I have Bill DeReamer. And Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
Now, Bill, for those of you who don't know, is a helicopter pilot and is probably, I guess, the most experienced in this market. And we're going to talk about what FluTog means in just a minute, but I want to ask you about your job as helicopter pilot. Things have changed a lot in the last few years, right?
Yes, they have. It's been interesting. I've been down at the TV station for 20 years now, and I cut my teeth flying a traffic helicopter a few years before that, and things have changed.
Yeah, I mean, I just realized in talking to you before we started here that there's not, you know, I remember the ads from, I guess, 10 years ago. Every station was bragging about its traffic helicopter, right?
Yep.
And they don't do that anymore.
No, it's those days are gone. Most of that is contracted out to a third-party company, and they provide the traffic reports based off of TriMark and scanner traffic.
Wow, wow. Well, that's a big change in the market. I remember when I was covering TV all the time, you know, the stations were bragging about who had the best helicopter fleet, et cetera. But that's evolved for you into what sounds like one of the coolest jobs around. Tell me about your day. You basically go in and wait for something to go up in the air for.
Yep, I got a job that I love, and it is pretty cool. And, you know, I'm not one of these that really brags about it. I have a job just like everybody else. I just happen to be a helicopter pilot. I joke around. I say I'm a bus driver. But I have a duty day. My day starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'll go to Bowman Field where we keep the helicopter, and I'll pre-flight it, make sure it's, as we say in the business, the horse has been fed and ready to go to work. And then I'll reposition the helicopter down to the TV station where we have the helipad down in front.
I think everybody's seen that on Melwood Avenue, the big pad up there. It seems like it's always there.
Yep.
And you don't go out on a regular basis. You just go out for special news events. And, you know, you were saying how you figure out how to do that.
Well, as I tell people, I describe my job as like being a fireman. I have a desk in the newsroom, and I'll sit in there, and the assignment editors will, they listen to scanner traffic, or people will call in, and when a big event happens, they'll send me up. And so that's basically the bulk of my day. Now, sometimes they'll go out and get what they call B-roll. Let's say that they want to do an update on the East End Bridge. Okay. We'll go out and shoot some video of that, and they'll put that into a story. That happens quite a bit, but the bulk of ours is breaking news events, fires, okay, bad car accidents, and those type of deals.
Yeah, maybe you could give me an example of one of those that you've had recently that, you know, it's basically, hey, Bill, go get in the chopper. It sounds like a fire station.
Well, yes.
Firehouse.
Yeah, yesterday I went up on, I believe, three flights. The first one, there was a gentleman that was trapped in a house down by Churchill Downs, and we went and did that. And when we were covering that, we saw a very bad accident on 7th Street, so we diverted over to there. And then the other one that if the folks at home have mobile alerts on their phone, is my phone's been blown up this morning. We covered part of this yesterday. There was a fugitive that they were looking for down in the Mount Washington area. So we were up over that for about an hour yesterday.
Wow.
Trying to find where this gentleman was. There were some sightings of him. So those are the kind of things we do on a daily basis.
And car chases, right? That's got to be fun, chasing a car.
Well, you know what? Everybody sees the car chases out in L.A. you know, it's like a daily event. Here recently, it's getting to be a little more, it's starting to happen a little more often. And just like you see it at home, I hate to admit it, it's really cool and it's really fun. But what's interesting, these people that they do it makes you wonder why, because what the cops are doing now is they'll let a canine out after the end of this car chase, and they'll let the dog go out after these people, and it's just these dogs just chew these people up.
Yeah.
So you think that'd be a big enough deterrent to have people not run from the law?
Yeah. Well, you'd think, but people do stupid stuff, and you know, it's really, as a viewer, it's fun to see the angle from the sky on what some of these people are doing. So it must be rewarding. How did you get into being a helicopter? I mean, 20 years in this market, it's an amazing run. You know, when you went to school, was that your dream to be a pilot?
No, not really. I had a buddy that I grew up with that all he wanted to do was fly his whole life. He actually was flying us around in a small Cessna airplane before he even had his driver's license. And all he wanted to do is fly. So he ended up a little bit later in life when we were in college. He said, hey, man, the Army's got a helicopter pilot program. I think I'm going to do that. And what do you think? And I said, well, I'm going to finish up school, but it sounds pretty cool. So I joined the ROTC program down at the University of Louisville.
Okay.
And branched aviation out of that. And after I graduated, I went to flight school for the Army. But I was a reservist, and I didn't have the experience at that point. So I had what I would just consider a day job, and then I was flying in the reserves.
Okay.
And then when I got enough experience, I was just lucky enough to have been in the right place at the right time and got picked up by WLKY to be the contractor for their program.
Excellent. Well, it's an excellent story, and it really sets you up well as we transition here to be in charge of a Flugtag team.
Exactly.
Tell our listeners what that is.
Well, you know, it's our illustrious mayor had a news conference some time ago, and they were touting this first-time event that was going to come to Louisville, the Red Bull Flugtag. And I caught wind of that, and I said, boy, that really sounds kind of neat. And so I submitted an entry, never thinking for a minute that I would get selected. And I was on vacation over Memorial Day weekend, and I got an email in the mail, and they said, lo and behold, your team has been selected.
You better get busy building your craft. So for people that don't know, this is a competition. It's going to be August 27th right down at the Waterfront Park. And as you explained it to me, and I'll let you take over the explanation, there's a platform being built, and you will launch these crafts, you call them, off the platform, right?
That's correct. For those folks at home that have no idea what this is, and that would have been me about 3 months ago, I would encourage you to go to their web page. Go to Red Bull Flugtag and go and look at some of these videos. They're just it is a really fun experience. And what they've done, or what they will do, there's actually one in Boston this weekend, August 20th, and then the 27th. It's going to be in Louisville, but they're going to build about 110-foot length platform off the Great Lawn into over the Ohio River. And this platform will be 22 feet above the water. And the whole idea is these crafts that I call them, the idea is to push these off of this platform and over the water, and they're going to judge the distance of how far these things will fly.
Well, I would think that being a helicopter pilot, you know some things about science and technology that would give you a leg up over somebody like me that doesn't know anything like that, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure about that, but you know what? Every smart businessman surrounded himself with smarter people than himself to help make their business. And what I did is there's teams. Each team is made up of five individuals. And being at based at Bowman Field, I reached out to some of my friends that are aviation enthusiasts, just like myself. And so we've got some really smart people that have come up with a really cool craft that we really think we got a good chance to win this thing on the distance. I'm not so sure we're going to be the most unique looking aircraft.
But maybe you won't fly into the Ohio River, which would be the great. Your plan is your plan to land in Indiana, or
that would be great. I don't. Maybe we'll land right over there at Buckhead's restaurant over there. The world record is 258 feet.
Wow.
And that was done back in 2013 in the United States. And, boy, there'd be nothing that I'd rather do than go 259 feet.
Now, how wide is that expanse of the Ohio? Is it?
You know, that's a good question. I'd say it's probably a half mile there. So, you know what? If we get, I'm just being honest here. They've changed the rules since that world record was made. If we get 100 feet, I'll be really excited.
Okay.
These are all human power. They're pushed, and they can't have any engines or anything like that on it.
So it's aerodynamics, I guess. It sounds like a paper airplane. You're trying to figure out how to make it land.
It's exactly what it is. There's some parameters. Your wings cannot be any wider than 28 feet. You can't be any longer than 20 feet, and your craft with your craft and your pilot can't weigh any more than 400 pounds. So they've got some restrictions that you have to.
So there's only one person in it, right?
It's a team of five, but there is one assigned pilot. That's going to be one of my backup pilots, a guy named Chris Colburn.
You're not doing that.
No, well, I had a knee replacement about a year ago, and so I don't know if I would survive a 22-foot fall. But one of my helicopter backup pilots, he just happens to fly for the Metro Police. He's going to be our pilot, and he's really looking forward to it. And we've got a really interesting skit that we're going to put on also.
Wow. Well, it sounds very entertaining, and this is all it's a Red Bull event. I guess Red Bull is sponsoring everything, and they've got some cool prizes for you guys to win if you win. You know how many teams there are? How many guys?
Well, they had over 200 entries. They selected 40 of them, and just based on an email I got yesterday, it looks like four of them have dropped out. So right now there's 36 teams that will be competing.
Wow. Well, it sounds like quite an interesting event. Looking forward to it at the waterfront on Saturday, August 27th, right?
The 27th, it starts at 12 o'clock. They encourage folks to come down because you're going to be able to walk around and look at these crafts. I believe that they'll be able to go down and check them out on Friday afternoon. That's going to be our setup. They've got what they're calling a hangar area down there.
Okay.
And, boy, it'll be a spectacle. It'd be a great event for kids to bring them down and look at all the different.
So what? And last question, though. What's yours actually look like? Is it look like a plane or what?
Well, the wings are going to look like a plane. The middle part of it is just a big if you've ever seen a Cherokee, it's a low-wing plane.
Right.
We're going to have a really extravagant paint job on it with flames, and, you know, it's really going to stand out. And, of course, we are going to have it logoed a little bit. WOKY was kind enough to sponsor our build, so, of course, okay. We want to show them a little love by putting their logo on the side of it.
All right, well, look for that then. You'll be able to identify Bill's plane with the WLKY logo at the Flugtag on August 27th, right down at Waterfront Park. We'll be right back with more of the show right after this.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Okay, so now you know what Flugtag means, and I hope you'll remember that you heard it here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Good luck to Bill and his team as they go. It really sounds dangerous. I was talking to Bill after the show, and wow, that's really going to be something to see. I've seen some of the videos, and we'll have a story up on LouisvilleKY.com about the Flugtag in the coming days, so certainly before the event on August 27th. So how about that? I do want to tell you on this show, we have a great time doing it. I got some people that helped me and make all this happen. We really appreciate it if you subscribe to the show on iTunes. And also be aware that we do another show called Eat, Drink, Talk with my partner Steve Coombs, all about the restaurant and drinking industries in Louisville. And I've been having a good time doing that. I've learned a lot, and it's the same thing every time I go out. I learn something new all the time. For example, I did a interview for the Eat Drink Talk show at the New Vintage. You remember Hunter Embry was on last week talking about the Seven Cents Festival. Well, I learned today from Sean Steele, another one of the organizers of that event, that there's a brewery right downtown in Nulu that I didn't even know about. It's called Akashi. And it's right there near Feast Barbecue on that corner in Nulu. I try to know everything, but that one I had no idea existed. And so that's something for you to know if you're looking for a place to go in and have a beer. I hear the beer is really good there. So I want to follow up on a few things. So this, as you know, is the part of the show where I talk about some of the things that interest me in media and things around town. I used to cover the world of media, and I did stories on helicopters a couple of times back in my days at the Ville Voice, I remember, but I did not know about some changes that had taken place in the helicopter industry. I was talking to Bill DeReamer outside the interview and learned that the helicopter business has changed. As you know, probably know, WLKY has its own helicopter, and you know, Bill told you how he flies over from Bowman Field every day. The other Wave and WHAS share a helicopter that's painted on either side. But a few things I didn't know that have changed in recent years. Number one, it's very rare for a reporter to go up in a helicopter with a pilot. I don't know why. Bill didn't really have an explanation for why. It'd be something to look into. But it used to be that you'd see these shots of reporters up in helicopters looking down on scenes and sites and everything. And that doesn't really happen anymore. Another thing that they, as we're getting ready for high school football season, and you remember the hype? I mean, it was like the biggest thing that the TV station did was covering football on high school football on Friday night. Well, they don't fly the helicopters around to games anymore, according to Bill. And I guess they cover it in a different way, and I'm not sure anybody really misses it. But it was kind of cool back then. The sports reporters at the local stations would helicopter it from one game to another and report live from you know, high school football fields around town. And they sort of don't do that anymore. You know, I don't know why. But anyway, the other thing that I did not realize is the way traffic is reported. I remember the ads. I'm sure you do. The traffic copter, you know, our traffic copter is the best. It's up there all, you know, reporting on the progress of traffic on the interstates and all that. Well, none of that is done with helicopters anymore. Most of the traffic reporting is done by some out-of-town company, and they don't have helicopters in the air either. They use other systems that monitor and check the flow of traffic. And so the traffic helicopter is no more. So that was all news to me, I guess. And you know, sometimes things change without you realizing it. And technology changes things a lot. And that brings me to my next topic. I did something this week. I ended a relationship with a company, or at least the type of company I've had that relationship with since I got out of college. And that is a cable or satellite TV provider. I cut the cord this week. That's right. I wrote about it on LouisvilleKY.com. But I have finally got to the point where I figured out that it was silly for me to waste my money on Dish Network. I was paying about $65 a month for the most basic package they had. And all, really, because I wanted to have quick access to local television stations. Well, guess what? I joined like 15% of this one survey I cited in my story. 15% of the people in America have done the same thing. They've cut the cord. They don't feel like, you know, it's like with me, with the internet, there is you have access to so many things to watch. It's really not necessary to have a cable or satellite provider. So I called up Dish and canceled my account, and what I did, I got a digital TV antenna. When you just attach to the back of the TV, just you know, today's answer to rabbit ears, if you remember those, if you're old enough to remember what rabbit ears were, the digital TV antenna brings in all the stations with digital picture, and it's over the air and doesn't cost you anything. It's about $20 for the antenna, and I've got three TVs in my house, and I'm using one on each one, and it's really great. It's going to be great cost savings to me. I'm very fortunate that I have access to, so now I have access to local TV through the digital antenna. I'm an Amazon Prime member, so Amazon has a bunch of programming that's really great. And I share a Netflix subscription with my girlfriend Paula, who's very generous about sharing her complete television package. Now, she's not joining me in all these moves. She actually still has a AT&T UVerse package, which you have to have to subscribe to some of the apps on the Amazon. I have an Amazon Fire TV system at my house, and it's really great. I am currently watching a series on Netflix called Stranger Things. It's binge-worthy. I guess that's a new term. It's binge-worthy. Is it worth your time to spend watching a bunch of, investing several hours? It's not like a movie you're putting in 2 hours. If you binge watch a season of a series, it's a good 8 to 10 hours. So I'm working my way through Stranger Things. It's fascinating. It's like along the lines of something Stephen King might have written. But it's a Netflix series, and I've heard about it on NPR. It's picking up a lot of popularity. It's a mystery, and there's supernatural stuff going on, and it involves kids in, like, 1980. It's set in 1983 somewhere in Indiana, which is interesting in itself because, you know, the electronics in the TV, they have a rotary phone that's stuck on the wall, and they have televisions that have dials on them, and a lot of other references to the 80s in this series called Stranger Things. I highly recommend you, if you're looking for something to binge on, that's the thing. That's the hottest series right now. I've watched a lot of stuff on Netflix and Amazon and even HBO and Showtime, which I am able to access through a Paula subscription. So certainly no shortage of things to watch on TV, and I love being able to watch TV. I love television. I love watching good TV, but I don't like what's happened to, like, network TV. I can't hardly stand to watch it. Did you know that ABC is now airing game shows like Match Game in prime time? There's such a dearth of programming, or the need to produce cheap programming is so strong that the major networks, rather than spending the money to produce high quality dramas. You know, there are still plenty of those, primarily it's reality shows, and now they're putting game shows in primetime network slots. That used to be so important. I think so few people are watching network TV that it's hardly worth the effort for producers to produce shows like that. So I don't miss watching local commercials. Even though I have the local channels, it's rare for me to get through a whole newscast. I tell you, it's... there are still good news journalism being produced by the local television stations. I'll say that. But, you know, like, especially this week, the weather, it consumes a bigger percentage of the newscast. And it seems like the more you hear about it, the more they're wrong. You know, were you expecting rain all last weekend like I was? Certainly, a lot of people canceled. I tell you, I saw this thing. You won't believe this. Over at U of L, they had an event scheduled at Captain's Quarters on Thursday night. It wasn't Thursday night. It was Monday night. There was an event scheduled there, and rain was in the forecast. Actually, I believe it was probably Tuesday because I played golf with the J-Town Chamber on that day. And so the people at U of L, so enamored with weather forecasting were they, that they saw that there was a thunderstorm predicted for the time of this outdoor event, and U of L canceled the event before a raindrop fell. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? The event was to be held at 6 or so. There wasn't a drop of rain till like 10. They could have had the event, done the whole thing, but they watched too much TV, and they made their plans around the weather report and canceled the event. I kid you not. So there's plenty of other bad stuff I talk about in my piece about local TV, including the poor quality of some of the television commercials from car dealers, which are really hard to sit through anymore. So anyway, off that subject, let's move on to something else. I have want to direct your attention to eatdrinktalk.net, the website operated by myself and Steve Coombs. There's a breaking story on there today about the Bistro 301 restaurant downtown being changing hands, and it is going. It has been purchased by the people who run the Goat, which is way out in the East End in an apartment complex. I've had experience that have been less than stellar out there. It's a great looking place. I think they have some problems with the service. At least they have in the times I've been there. But it'll be interesting to see if they set up the same kind of restaurant right there in the middle of downtown. It's right across the street from the convention center, which shut down today. It just shut down today for 2 years. They're a massive remodeling project of the convention center downtown. And so I think times are going to be lean for the restaurants directly across the street. We'll see how they do and see what happens at the Bistro 301. That'll be very interesting. I also wrote a sort of a media story. I did a short piece on the fact that Kevin Grangier's group, which does The Village Anchor and Kevin's Picnic and Lemieux, hired the Courier Journal restaurant critic Nancy Miller for a job, a director of some fancy title. I can't remember what it was, but it's interesting to me for the newspaper. Will they hire another restaurant critic? My guess is no, they probably won't. It'd be like the TV critic and the beat reporter and all the other positions that used to be staples of the newspaper industry. My prediction is they won't replace that spot, and they'll just do some sort of other types of restaurant coverage. We'll see. I did see maybe her last piece. Nancy reviewed the Red Barn Kitchen recently, which is another restaurant that we've talked about on Eat, Drink, Talk, the podcast. And tomorrow's podcast, I know that Steve has a great guest in I can't remember his name, Defoe, from the guy from Flavor Man. And I had a great interview today talking about the Seven Cents Festival, which is on the same day as the Flutog event we talked about earlier in the day, August 27th. But this Seven Cents Festival is really something. You remember Hunter Embry was on the show last week talking about it. 40 bands. I talked with Chris Nelson and Sean Steele about the food and drink. It's just going to be phenomenal what they're going to have available and the choices that you're going to have available in terms of eating and drinking during this. I think it's like a 12-hour. This thing lasts 12 hours. But the Seven Cents Festival is some mark on your calendar. All right, I got one other story I want to mention real quick before I move on to my next guest from Actors Theater, and that is the announcement this week that the New Kentucky Project, which is a political organization, a nonprofit 501c4 thing, I think it is, group was announced today by former state auditor Adam Edlin and Matt Jones, who hosts the most popular sports talk show in the state, focusing on the University of Kentucky sports. He has been a guest on this show, and I think it's great that he's getting into politics in a big way, and that organization has big plans to have representatives in all 120 counties. I think all the things that this group is about are good for government and good for the public. So I will say we need to wait and see what they do, but they have an advisory group that includes some former guests on this show, like State Senator Morgan McGarvey, the 21C Hotel CEO Craig Greenberg, and even Brent McKim, the president of the J.C. Jefferson County Teachers Association, who was on this show just a couple of weeks ago. He's on that group. The school has started, and Brent is all involved. They still haven't resolved their contract dispute, the teachers and the school board, so that's still going on. But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the New Kentucky Project with Adam Edlin and Matt Jones. Maybe we'll have one of those guys on this show again real soon. So that's a few of the stories I've been following in the news around here, but I want to get to Actors Theater and my guest Nathan Keepers, who's a really fascinating guy. He grew up in Minnesota, and is his mother was in the theater, so he, from a very young age, he was involved in theater. He's been in productions at Actors before and is very excited about his directorial debut. I really like the sound of this play, 39 Steps. They use the word slapstick to describe it. It's based on a Hitchcock film. And Nathan is already. I was talking with Sarah Durham, who is the director of PR down there, and about all the hours that it takes to get ready for one of these productions. I mean, the practice that goes into it is just intense. It gets intense, and they're just starting to get to the intense part. They start practicing August 3rd for this play, having rehearsals. I say practice, that's sort of a sports term, I guess. They had rehearsals starting August 3rd. I saw the rehearsal room up there at Actors for the first time today. It was really cool. And I think you're going to like hearing from Nathan. He's an engaging individual and a real pro in the theater. So his directorial debut will be August 30th with 39 Steps at Actors Theater's Pamela Brown Auditorium. Stay tuned for my interview with Nathan.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. 1-800-578-0603 and choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Hello, Nathan Keepers. I'm here at Actors Theater once again, and great to meet you.
You too. Great to be here.
You have a, I guess it's the calm before the storm. It's mid-August, but your play, The 39 Steps, your directorial debut here in Actors Theater, starts on August 30th, right?
Yeah. We're going to perform it soon. We're 2 weeks away. So yeah, we're in sort of the thick of it right now.
Okay.
As you were.
How is that? Tell me how that's going. Now I understand this is in the Pamela Brown, the big theater, and it is four actors. Is that
four.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how's the rehearsals going?
Great. It's going great. They're a really good team. The four of them. A couple of them have worked together before, and but mostly they didn't really know each other, and they've really gelled.
Okay.
Quickly, and they play really well together. It's a big comedy, so that's important that they're having fun together. It's three men. One guy plays the main part, that's sort of the through line through the show, Richard Hannay. And then there's a woman who plays the three women that he sort of encounters throughout his journey. And then there's two guys who are referred to as the clowns who play every other part in the show.
Okay.
So they're running off and changing costumes, running back on, changing costumes. So for them, it's quite a whirlwind.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like it's a sort of an action-packed, I'm going to be laughing a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of laughs. It's also like thriller. I mean, the movie that it's based on by Hitchcock is it's an early Hitchcock, but it's a very quiet thriller like Hitchcock does. And then the play is sort of spoofing on that movie, sort of. So it's sort of a panto on that movie.
Okay.
So there's a lot. So you're following this guy who is falsely accused of murder, and then he runs, but then he stumbles into like state secrets that he's trying to save England, basically.
Okay.
And so that thriller part is sort of the through line of it, but then it's got this other layer, I guess, of the play, sort of theatrical experience that sort of goes wrong or like goes right, or you know, and the comedy of just seeing two guys kind of run around and play all these parts.
And I wish my audience could see all the hand gestures that Nathan is making as he's describing this play. It sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
So it starts, August, it runs for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And is that in terms of length of time to do one show? I mean, I've heard about Broadway plays that people do for like years.
Of course. The commercial, you know, Broadway is more of the commercial side of it, so those things run to make money. Mm-hmm. And in the nonprofit world, it's like, I think you just have, you know, you have your season, they have to move on, they have to get on, they're doing Macbeth, you know, so it's like, stages, they got to get that stage, they got to get off the stage. So ideally, you know, in theaters like this, what you can do, hopefully, sometimes, is extend, you know, that, but that's about... extend maybe a week, maybe two here and there, but it's pretty standard in like regional theater across the country. Like 3 to 4 weeks for a run is sick.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about your history here with actors, because I know you've been on the stage before and done and you have a relationship with Les Waters, who's been on the show. So tell me a little bit about your history.
I started coming here. I mean, I've been coming to Louisville on and off for a little over 10 years. I came here in 2004, long before Les and Meredith, with a company called Theatre de la Jeune Lune. We did a production at the Miser here. So I did that, and then in the 2009-10 season here, I was actually here for a lot. I did Midsummer, I did Christmas Carol, and I did the Humana that year. Meanwhile, in that time, I met Les away from here, and we did a show together and became friends, and then he got this job, and it was Noises Off was my first thing here with under Les and Meredith that Meredith directed, and they actually lost an actor
like 2 weeks before rehearsal started, and they called me and they're like, "Are you available?" And I just happened to be available, so I came down. And then Meredith and I got to work really well together. So I came back and we did Love's Labor's Lost. My company in Minneapolis did.
Okay.
Brought Love's Labor's Lost, and then Starcatcher, I guess. Starcatcher last year.
Starcatcher last year. So good. So okay, of those that I'm gonna show my ignorance here, but of those I'm familiar with Christmas Carol. What part were you
in Christmas Carol? I played Marley, and I played my main thing was Marley, but then I played it's young Marley.
Yeah.
And then I think I played Topper or something like that, and okay. I think I played Undertaker or wow. like one of those. Yeah. Like
so you do a lot.
You end up doing a lot in that show just because okay. there's so many.
Well, what's the jump from acting to directing? I would assume that is like a natural progression in the career career in theater.
Right. I mean, I think for some. I mean, for me, it feels very natural. Mm-hmm. I come from a background of creating a lot of work, so like my company creates things from scratch, and even if we're not creating something from scratch, we do adaptations of things, of do our own translations of plays and things like that. So we call ourselves actor authors. So in that,
that's me. Sorry.
So in that, you kind of you end up having a lot of more responsibility as the actor. Like you sort of self-direct somehow, I think, to a certain degree. So when I work other places, that sort of comes through. So getting into directing is been what I've been doing it now the last few weeks, mm-hmm. sort of in this scale. I've never really done it in this scale, and I've done it with my company, but it's a totally different ball game.
Sure.
Has been really comfortable. Like I just feel like, I don't know, I guess. I think we'll see. I mean, we haven't opened yet, so I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess when you're doing the first time that opening night, that's got to get the nerves going. And
oh yeah, I don't even know. I can't even. I don't even know. Who knows if I'll be able to watch it? I have no idea. Yeah,
that's funny.
Well, but I trust those guys. The actors are great. So,
well, let me ask you a little bit about your background. You are from Minneapolis, and mm-hmm. and what's your earliest memories of interest in theater?
Yeah, I think it was my mom was always in it. So mm-hmm. when I was really tiny, I'd go see her in shows, and she'd wear a mask or something, and I'd scream at her because I was so scared of the mask. So, but then around like fifth or sixth grade, she started teaching this theater school for kids, and I went just because I had to go. Like, she was like, "You're coming with me," and so I started doing that. And then she directed at high schools and things like that too. So I'd go with her to the high school rehearsals, and it just sort of became something I started to do. And then did some stuff in like junior high with some children's theaters in Minneapolis. My high school then had a really strong theater program, and then my senior year of high school, I went and auditioned for this company, Theatre de la Jeune Lune, mm-hmm. and just to do a show, but that turned into 11 seasons that I was with them. So
I
ended up not going to college. I stayed with that company, and I went and studied a little bit abroad. I went to a guy named Philippe Gollier, who's in Paris, who teaches on this pedagogy called, the guy's name who developed it is Jacques Lecoq, so it's the Lecoq method, and a lot of the founders of Jeune Lune, where I went, or the company I was with, they all were at Lecoq in, the 70s, late 70s. Okay. So Gollier was one of the teachers there, and he started his own school to make it all short. But I studied with him for a while, and then I was back with the company, and then I went to Switzerland, and I studied with a guy named Pierre Billon, who's a clown wow. teacher. And studied under him, and I was with the company and around.
So are you a good clown?
people tell me I am, so I'll take it.
But there's clowns in this 39 Steps production.
Yeah,
you said.
Yep, the two clowns. They take care of everything.
They have the mm-hmm. training you got, or
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, they do. One of them one has very similar training. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, tell me how you must be looking forward to this production. Is this is everything on schedule?
It seems like it so far. We haven't had anything big be like, ooh. So right now it feels like everything's right on track.
Okay.
In terms of rehearsal, we're on schedule. We're just tweaking and running and drilling the show. It's one of those shows that you got to drill. The actors just have to drill it, so they, because the comedy's tight, like it's really
yeah,
rhythmical.
I'm always curious when I go to a play like that, that whether, or it sounds like there's a lot of dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and it's just getting all that down.
Yeah, dialogue, like physical comedy, all that stuff, and then you put the two together in some moments, and you just got to drill it. You just drill it so as an actor you feel like you're ahead of it, basically, so you can, you're in control of it. Because if you're out of control of it, then it's not as funny.
I mean, you, as an actor, I guess, you ever been in a situation where you like forget the line or not sure what to do?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's for sure. I did a one man show. I mean, it's fine when if you forget a line and or you skip a line or something, you're with people. That's one thing. It's easier because they have you.
Yeah.
But I did a one man show once. I totally blanked at one point. I'd been doing the show for a while, and I just totally blanked. And I think I just sat there. I don't even know what I did. And then I just moved on. I don't know where I moved on to, but eventually I was like, I think I'm here, and I just started again.
Well, that's I can't imagine the fear that would incite in me. But okay, so we're ready for this. Have you got any plans for Louisville beyond this show?
I mean, nothing like in the books right now, but you know, I have a good relationship with everyone here, so I'm sure I'll be back at some point.
Okay.
Sooner than later.
Well, tell me again, Nathan, the play starts August 30th,
August
right?
August 30th, yeah. Yep.
And
it runs till September 18th, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to it. It's another great season for Actors Theater.
Yeah. And, I'm happy to be here.
So there you have it. Another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show is in the books. That is consecutive week number 163. We've had this great show. I really appreciate those of you who followed me the whole time, and those of you just joining in. I would love for you to go spread the word in social media on the show, and or write a review on iTunes. Anything you can do to help us boost our audience. We've got a pretty, our numbers are really good, and I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish here on the Rusty Satellite Show. So thank you very much. I really appreciate my sponsors, the Eye Care Institute and Passport Health Plan for helping me make this show happen each and every week, and also to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, and various people like Jason Smith, Jackie Bentley, who helped make it happen. And I've got some great folks out there also who helped me find guests, because I don't really know enough people to fill up two guests a week, but I've certainly been able to find them with the help of people like Caroline Knopp and Aaron Jones, and I just want to tell you that it's not a one-man show here. There's a lot of folks that go into making this thing happen. Encourage you to watch during the week for news on LouisvilleKY.com and on EatDrinkTalk.net. Our newest episode will be up Friday, and that's for me and Steve Coombs. So there's a lot to look for and go to. Stay informed and entertained with all this stuff that I do from the studios right here at Louisville.am. All right, until we come back with two of the most interesting people in the Ville next week, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.